And we are live. Andrew Combo Salop, how are you?
I'm doing well. I wish everybody could hear the countdown. Can you put that in the recording? It's pretty funny.
Actually, I usually do.
Oh, okay, okay.
One step ahead of you. It adds
in
the
three, two, one.
That was pretty good. Yeah, it adds that dramatic feel.
It used to be boom. What happened to boom?
It was. But, you know, this is a nice casual conversation. I love the convos we've been having about life, podcasting, NBA. So it just felt right. You know, I don't want it to feel like there's so much pressure. Like, boom. It's like, oh, my God. You know what I mean? I want it to ease into the conversation. So people listening are just a fly on the wall.
What's on your mind when it comes to life, Max Van Auken?
Well, right now, for one, I feel like a gorilla in the gym. Like, your boy's finally putting on weight, been lifting some heavy weights, but actually at the same time, it's a lot of repetition. I feel like I'm entering my prime when it comes to physical condition. But as far as life, about to go on a vacation, so we're recording this a little early, so it's out. Other than that, man, got the sad passing of Bill Russell. And so that kind of took up a little bit of my day, just looking in and looking at everyone's response and looking into his story and watching some of his interviews. And man, as a character, I know we'll dive into that. So that's what's going on with me, Combo. What's going on with you?
Wow, a lot to unpack there. Yeah, I mean, it's so sad about Bill Russell. Obviously, yeah. One of the greatest winners to ever play in the game. You could argue, somebody can make a great argument that he's the greatest winner to ever play in the game of basketball, just the best player on a team that won 11 championships. So his career it's like unparalleled, you know what I mean? He really did it all, and to win that many championships is beyond incredible. So that's really sad to hear that he passed. When it comes to your weightlifting journey, I feel like you're at the age where you're not even in your prime yet when it comes to actual like strength.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't even think you're reaching your prime yet until like probably like mid-30s, you know, because obviously like when you're talking about like quick twitch and sprints and high-end like jumping, like, yeah, that's like in your 20s. But when it comes to like straight strength, I think that's a little bit later.
I think
you're talking about prime.
That's a great point. I appreciate that, Combo. It makes me feel even better. Yeah, it's and one thing I'm actually about to partake in is golf. I don't know if you're a golfer, but I think that's I tweeted this today. So my first sport I ever played, 4 years old, it was jiu-jitsu, wrestling, boxing, Muay Thai. I was just heavy into combat sports. Then I fell in love with the game of basketball. Not that I fell out of love, but obviously I'm not playing every day. Now I took that physical attention towards working out, which I'll never stop doing. I love working out. But
You should never stop.
Exactly. Yeah. The next hobby/sport that I'm going to pick up is golf. I've always kind of wrote it off. It looked boring. I played it. I wasn't good at it. And of course, like anything, if you don't play it or you don't practice, you won't be good at it. But it was frustrating, kind of expensive. But my friend Trey, him and I are so competitive. And so he's always played golf. So I never wanted to play with him and always lose to him. But it's about time I go out there and play. So I think golf is going to be the next sport I really get serious about. And they say a lot of business is done on golf, on the golf course. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah. It's just so time consuming. And I feel like when you want to be the greatest ever, it takes a lot of your time. But with that said, Michael Jordan was the greatest ever, and he played a lot of golf. So.
Steph Curry plays golf. Tom Brady plays golf. Aaron Rodgers plays. If you golf and you smoke cigars, you're pretty successful at life.
Well, anybody could just do that. So anybody that golfs and smokes cigars is a...
They're doing pretty good. Yeah, they're doing pretty good.
I guess so. In the scheme of things, I mean, if you have time to golf and smoke cigars...
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, in the scheme of things, you're probably doing okay.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one thing I'm going to partake in here shortly. But as far as Bill Russell, I don't know. The NBA, to me, feels like combo like superheroes. And, like, these characters feel like super... Like, I mean, obviously, I've made Marvel comparisons, but I feel like the way kids look up to these athletes and the way they fall in love with the sport, the way sports bring people together, it feels like movies and, like, everyone's just crowded around a couch watching a good superhero movie. Like, that's what the NBA always felt like for me. And so when you take a guy like Bill Russell, he feels like the OG of OGs, right? Like, even your favorite player looks up to Bill Russell. And everyone just pays so much homage and respect to him every time they saw him at All-Star games or... I saw a video today with him and Kobe Bryant and just saying how proud he was of Kobe, and you see LeBron with Bill. And so just to see how everyone was touched by a player who they may not even have seen play growing up was pretty incredible to me. Obviously, it's incredibly sad But I think we could say he lived a very full and happy life, especially from what we see, right?
Yeah, definitely. He always gave back to the game. He was always an ambassador of the game, and everybody showed him much respect. When you're that kind of winner, and he did a lot of stuff off the court as well, you know. I'm not an expert on his life, but I know he was a lot more than basketball, you know, his story. So
yeah,
he went through a lot. He fought through a lot, and he was just an amazing person and an amazing winner. So
yeah, 11 championships.
I mean, you got to pay homage to guys like that because he paved the way for everybody playing today.
Right. I apologize in advance, by the way. I'm not sick, just a little bit under the weather. But he had 11 championships, two as a head coach. He won a national championship, and the man has, like, games with 50-plus rebounds, 30 and 30 games. And you could say what you want. I know it's been kind of in a recent discussion when you hear, like, with J.J. Redick.
About who they were playing against.
Yeah, Jerry, J.J. and, like, Jerry going back and forth a little bit. But at the end of the day.
I heard my guy Bob Ryan has been on my show twice talking about this, and he wasn't too happy with that J.J. Redick take.
Yeah, it's the way he's the
ultimate,
he delivered
it. You know, Bob is the ultimate Celtic guy.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel and think the way J.J. does. It was just the way he said it and so unfiltered, the way he delivered it. I think that's why it landed so harshly with a lot of people.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's such a delicate subject because, yeah, I mean, you know that every generation gets better. But on the other end of the spectrum, you could only play against the people that they put in front of you. And if you would have grew up in this era, you would have had access to everything these guys have access to. And you would have had the advantage as well. You know what I mean? So it's not like an apples-to-apples comparison a lot of times.
Yeah, it's like every sport. You can't hold that against them for what they were playing at. And I don't know, for those listening, I don't know if you're diehard UFC fans. I'm not sure if you know this combo, but there's a guy named Royce Gracie who was...
Of course. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of Gracies, right?
Yeah, he was what... It was UFC 1, and you had, this was obviously before it was what it is now, and not a lot of rules, and it was brutal, but you had all these big dudes, no rules, no weight classes, but this one small guy beat everyone through Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and he's what made the UFC what it is today, as far as like, wow, so wait, I need to learn Jiu-Jitsu, and then all of a sudden, everyone started learning Jiu-Jitsu, and that's how what made the sport grow and progress and evolve, so... Royce Gracie is one of the most valuable fighters in UFC history as far as what he meant for the sport. But if you take Royce Gracie today, like in his prime, and you put him against modern UFC fighters, he'd get destroyed because of how much the game has evolved. But it doesn't mean he isn't who he is. Like, that doesn't mean he shouldn't be held up on the pedestal that he is because of what he meant for the sport. And I feel like that's the same case for Bill Russell, where you can't compare those generations and those eras. But you cannot question for one second what he meant to the NBA.
100%. You cannot question what he meant to the NBA. And there's no proof that he would. You don't have absolute proof that he wouldn't do now what he did back then, right?
Exactly.
There's no way to absolutely prove that. He did what he did against the people that he was playing against with the team he had. And he won 11 championships. So there's no way you could take any of that away from him. The Royce Gracie thing is interesting because I thought... And maybe this is like an off-the-wall take. I thought UFC was more interesting back then when everybody had their own style.
Mm.
And now it's a sport in itself.
Look at you.
And it's kind of one style. You know what I mean? I thought it was really interesting. Like, dudes had one glove. There's like sumo wrestlers, dudes with gis. And then they were at a disadvantage because you could grab their gi. I mean, that went away quick because of that right there, right?
Look at you knowing your UFC history.
I thought it was so interesting back then.
Yeah. Wow. I'm surprised, Combo. I didn't know you had this UFC knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I'm not as well-versed on the UFC as you, but I definitely used to pay attention. Like, I used to watch a good amount of boxing, and then when UFC was out, I had friends that were really into it in the beginning. And back then, it was taboo. Like, people were saying this is like human. I think they were saying it's like human cockfights. What's a cockfight when pigeons fight each other?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it was labeled as at first. The brand was awful. It was awful until Dana White and the Fertitta brothers brought it.
It was so taboo. And now it's like, you know, it's part of everyday life. Like, we see it every day on ESPN, you know?
Yeah. And what Dana White has two great expressions. One, if you're going to a neighborhood and you have people playing basketball, people playing football and soccer and kickball or tag, whatever, if a fight breaks out, everyone stops what they're doing and watches a fight. It's like it's just in the schoolyard or and you're in the cafeteria. If there's a fight that breaks out, I'm not saying you're recording it. I'm not saying you're breaking it up, but you're definitely looking over to see what's going on. Like, we just have this natural instinct to watch fights. So he knew that there was a huge need for it. And now he just made it global because he knew no matter your race, your religion, your ethnicity, we're all human and we all have this in our DNA. And so that's what he made the sport so global now. So that's what made the sport grow so quickly because it's so global. But I know this is an NBA podcast, but yeah, to your point, that was a really good point. I actually have a very unscripted question for you. It was a tweet that I got that was directed towards me today. And I'm like, you know what? I want to pick Combo's brain and see what his answer would be. You ready?
Let's get it.
So I was asked if you had to invest stock in three players, but in players for next NBA season, what would it be? And do you want me to tell you my answer first or no?
Sure.
Off the top of my head, because it's not like I had a list
ready,
right?
Well, this
is
basically something where you want to buy low and sell high, right? I mean, so somebody, maybe people that aren't, maybe somebody won't think they're going to be the best player in the league, but you do, or another guy who's like going to rise really quickly through the ranks. Like, that's how this goes, right?
Well, typically, yes. But, I mean, you could still pick a good player who you think is going to just take that next step. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be someone you never heard of, so to speak.
Right. No, okay. I got you. Go ahead, though.
Okay, so my list, and let me just make sure I get this right, because I know people are going to be like, no, you said this. Okay, so hold on. So this is who I picked. I picked Jaden Hardy, who I couldn't believe, and I know you and I talked about him. I couldn't believe how far down he fell in the draft. And so I feel like we're going to see this guy and say, wow, okay, that popped. I should have bet on him early. So Jaden Hardy was like for sure what I was going to mention. Colin Sexton coming off an injury, and now he's the number one free agent on the market, but he still doesn't have a team. I believe he could be a very great acquisition for a team that wants to be great. If you just need a guy, I think he'd fit perfect in New York. I think Colin Sexton's a guy who's going to have a great next year. And my third one is a guy who's already a star and who you and I are very high on. But I believe that this next season is going to be another huge leap in his game. Sort of what we've seen from Ja Morant. In a sense, we knew how good he was going into this year, but now this year, he's like an MVP type of guy. That's Anthony Edwards for me next year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in total agreement with Anthony Edwards, and I like your other two. I know a guy who's like really bubbling up, and if you're really paying attention to Summer League and what's going on and like what's trending and who fits into the NBA really well, like Quentin Grimes is a guy who played really well in Summer League with the Knicks, and he could like fit with any NBA team, and he's a guy who might move forward with another team eventually, but he's definitely a guy I would put stock into.
Okay.
Definitely Anthony Edwards. Like, that's the first person that comes to mind.
Okay.
And I think Luka's going to win MVP, so how can I go with Luka?
I agree.
I gave you two guys who are like very well established, and I gave you one guy that's maybe not as established, you know, because your first two were, I mean, those guys are great players, but you didn't go with like MVP level guys. So I kind of went with two MVP level guys and then one guy who I think could pop in the NBA and obviously had a great summer league.
I can't get mad at that. Those are great picks. I agree with you with Luka MVP as well.
Like, those are my next two MVPs. Like I've said that for a long time, that it was going to be Jokic this year and then Luka this year coming up, especially if he gets in shape, which it looks like he is. And then year three, Anthony Edwards is in the mix, which would be the year after this upcoming year.
You may be onto something, because I agree with you with Luka, and I do believe Anthony Edwards takes that leap. I think we even talked about this last podcast. I'm taking Minnesota over Memphis if they were to match up again. So if Anthony Edwards takes the leap that we both expect him to take, and this team is getting yet even better, it's not out of reach to say he wins the MVP next season, or the season after next.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in them, and I'm a really big believer in Denver if they get healthy. I really like what Denver brings to the table. Man, that Bruce Brown signing is underrated, man. That's like an interesting mix with Jokic, where like Jokic is playing the point and Bruce Brown at center.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun, man.
Yeah, it is. One person I don't know if you and I have talked about a lot is Ben Simmons. He was somebody, when everything was going down, everyone was writing him off. I said, I'm buying Ben Simmons stock because at this point you can buy it like a dime a dozen right now. Everyone's writing him off. What ends up happening with Simmons? Because Kyrie Irving, let's say he leaves eventually, or Kevin Durant leaves eventually, We haven't heard anything about Ben Simmons, so it looks like he's staying in Brooklyn. So regardless if they stay or not, where do you see Ben Simmons? What does his next season look like next year?
I just want him to play like 70-plus games. I think that's the key for this season because good things will happen. He's such a talent. You know, he just needs to be able to play in games. So I hope his back's okay. I hope his mental health is okay. And I hope he's available because I think simply that's the most important thing for him, just getting game reps and getting back into it. Because if KD is gone and Kyrie is gone, which actually I don't think there's a great chance of. I think they'll both be back. But let's say they are for the sake of this conversation, because that's where everybody thinks things are trending, even though I would probably disagree. But let's say they are gone. They're not title contenders, so there won't be a lot of pressure. And I think it's just important for him to play a lot of basketball.
Right. That's ultimately what you, now, let's say they do stay. What does that mean for Ben? Same thing, right?
He's a great fit. I mean, he's even a better fit, in my opinion, than James Harden, even though he's not the player James Harden is. Even though I think Ben Simmons is a top, like, 15 player when he's absolutely healthy. I mean, he's a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. It wasn't he a former Defensive Player of the Year as well? Like, didn't he win the award?
I don't think he won. I thought he was close.
Okay. Okay. Well, whatever. He's at that level. So, I mean, I think he's a great fit next to Kyrie and Durant. He could take some of those Bruce Brown minutes, but he does it at 6'10", right? Like, he could pass. He could play that. He could play pick and roll both ways, like with the basketball or without the basketball, you know? So I think he's dynamic, and he definitely helps them on defense. And he helps them push the ball with pace, which they didn't have as much these last few years.
Right. Now, if you had to go back in that draft class with Ben Simmons 1, Ingram 2, Jaylen Brown 3, how would you draft that order now, knowing what you know now?
I'm taking Ben Simmons still.
Number 1?
Unless like I know that his people are just talking crazy about him. Like, I told you, I think he's a top 15 player. Do I think Jaylen Brown and Brandon Ingram are top 15 players? I think they're close.
So
I'm taking Ben Simmons.
You're going Simmons 1, who's 2?
Oh, that's tough.
Because
it makes it seem like I don't like the other guy.
All 3, but you're going to have to hurt someone's feelings unintentionally.
In terms of right now or in terms of their – I get to have them for their whole career.
They're right now going on through their whole career. You are the Combo Nation NBA team, and you have those 3 players available on your team.
Yeah, I'm taking Ben Simmons, and then I think Ingram is better and more polished as an offensive player than Jaylen Brown right now, but I think Jaylen Brown has another leap in him. So I'm taking Jaylen Brown 2 and then Brandon Ingram. Even though I think Brandon Ingram is – probably better than Jaylen Brown right now. And some could argue he's better than Simmons right now, right? If Simmons isn't available, his back is hurt, his mental health isn't there. So, you know, I'm not mad at somebody arguing that Brandon Ingram is the best out of all of them right now, but I would take him 3 for me, for the Combo Nation team.
But when Ben Simmons is playing, you like him.
Yes. Even him, 2 years ago, was it? I don't know. When he was, like, really playing. Like, I know everybody looks at that playoff series and that one play, but he was playing great that whole year, you know?
That's wild to think about. That's the last time we've seen him play.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6'10", do it all. Man, yeah, he can't shoot. We know. We get it. He doesn't shoot.
Now, wouldn't you be a little bit – I'm not, like, for one, I was a Ben Simmons believer. Like I said, I was the one – I'm all for buying Ben Simmons stock, so I'm not trying to sound like a Ben Simmons hater or doubter. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. So how about for all the things that you mentioned I agree with on the court, how about the things off the court? Would you question what you're getting with his health? Would you question his love for the game of basketball? Would those be things that would concern you?
I think so, yeah. I think so.
Willing to look past that for 1 overall, even though everything that you know right now.
Well, I've seen him be competitive on a basketball court and play great on a basketball court. So I don't know any – I don't know them 3 personally. So, like, if I got to spend seasons with all of them, this would be an easier answer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if I had to guess, like, I can't really speak for that. I'd say probably, like, he doesn't love the game, maybe like Jaylen and Brandon, right? Like, if I had to guess. But I can't say that for sure because I don't know them personally.
Right. Right.
You know?
That's interesting.
Why do you feel he doesn't love the game?
No, I don't think he does. I mean, from what I know, obviously, yeah, I'm just like, okay,
maybe,
from what I
maybe
know.
You know, maybe you know inside information I'm not privy to, but
for example,
I mean, I have certain stuff about like how their practices were, and obviously Jimmy Butler has said stuff about their practices and how that whole culture was over there, or lack of culture, and kind of the reason why he fits in Miami and not with the Sixers, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So obviously, like you said, I don't know these people. From what I see, from what I observe, from what I hear, I think he's an exceptional talent. Like Anthony Davis, for example, exceptional talent. And I think the talent can get you very, very far. And I'm not saying at one point in time you didn't like the game of basketball. I'm not saying you don't even like it now. But I don't know if they love the game. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not getting that. And granted, not everyone loves the game
exactly.
The way
like,
Kobe
I mean,
does or
like
LeBron
does. Percentage of the NBA does
it. Exactly. So yeah. I'm not faulting him for it. I just don't think he loves the game of basketball. Like,
hey, I'll tell you two people that do love the game of basketball.
Go ahead.
Well, three. I'll give you three crazy hoopers. Joe Johnson.
Jamal Crawford.
Carmelo Anthony. Yeah, Jamal Crawford, too. And LeBron James. Those guys love basketball. I feel like those guys, if they didn't play in the NBA, they'd be like playing basketball every day.
Yeah, they love basketball. Like, I don't know. I don't feel that way about Ben Simmons. I don't feel that way about Anthony Davis. Again, they still could have great seasons. They could still be very good players, but I don't think they love basketball.
Yeah, like when I was on, I think I was on Doug Gottlieb's podcast or he was on mine. I forgot which one. Like he was talking about that. Like, he kind of just like comes for the season and hoops, and then in the off season he's not really hooping.
Yeah,
you know, yeah.
Which drives me insane, though, especially if you're LeBron's teammate. Like, you know what the expectations are. You know what he was going to want from you.
I know, but you, know, you don't. Nobody changes who you are from within. Like, just because LeBron is a crazy ball player doesn't mean that Anthony Davis is. You know, by crazy ball player, I don't mean by their talent. I mean when I like me and my friends we talk about crazy ballers. It doesn't have to do with how good you are. It's like almost like how much you're obsessed with the game, right?
You know, but I could live with Anthony Davis, though, if he was like Dennis Rodman. We're like, go ahead.
What'd you say? Say that again.
I could live with Anthony Davis if he was like Dennis Rodman. Like, right, what we saw from The Last Dance. He could still have a lot going on. He has other adventures, other passions. But when
he
plays,
doesn't play hard in the games.
Yeah, like when he plays, like, you could not question anything about Dennis Rodman's work ethic. He showed up. He got it done. Anthony Davis, I don't always feel like we get the same Anthony Davis every time he's on the court either.
Yeah, no, there's some of that, but also some of that is because he's not in the best of shape. And you could look like that when you're not in, when your conditioning isn't right. Like, his biomechanics were off, his cardio was off, even the skill level, like the shooting wasn't the same this year. So just a lot of things were off. I think sometimes when you're not in the best of shape, it could look like you're not giving it your all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I would take Ben Simmons one. I'm not going to lie to you. Talent-wise, I would.
Like, it's really close. So, I mean, I wouldn't be mad at any of them. I'm not like, oh, that's crazy for
any
of them, you know? That's like a close question.
Combo.
That's why it's a good question, yeah.
We need to talk hoops more often.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for this Orlando Magic season. There's a lot of buzz around the team, and we have a lot to talk about. You know what? I'm going to put it on the podcast so we do it. So we make sure we're going to bring a video component, more of a video component to this podcast because
yes,
I think it's important. And that's something I really want to work on. So we got to make that happen, Max.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm excited for the season, man. Like, they got a good young core, and it's going to be exciting. And obviously they have Paulo, so it's going to be good.
It's going to be – I expect a lot more winning this season. I do. I'm not saying an NBA championship. I'm not saying it's Eastern Conference Finals, but I definitely expect an exciting season. And there's going to be a lot to talk about, like you said. So the video component, bringing it to life. I was almost going to use your outro and say, make sure you subscribe, but that's your line combo. So I'm going to throw the ball back to you.
Yeah, with the video stuff, we're hoping and planning. We're not making any promises to get it on YouTube. And then we definitely want to share it more often on our socials, so we're looking forward to making that happen. But yeah, you subscribe to the MVP podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to Combo's Court wherever you listen to podcasts. Max Van Auken is Max_Van_Auken on Instagram and Twitter. Correct.
My name is my brand.
His name is his brand, and I'm Combo's Court on Twitter and 1-2 Combo on Instagram. We're here, man. We're here, Max. we're ready to go for this exciting Orlando Magic season.
Couldn't have said any better. Until next time. Talk soon.
Talk soon.